Hello and welcome to Sitfa Speaks. I'm Jess, and on this month's episode, we're sitting down with Sitfa's Chief Executive Officer, Rob Whiteman, CBE. After just over a decade at the helm of Sitfa, Rob is retiring as CEO in June 2024. Today, we're taking the time to look back on his career and contributions to Sitfa on this special episode. Rob, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you for asking.
To kick off, I'd quite like to go back to the beginning to get a bit of context around your journey into the public sector. You've had a range of senior roles in local government, from leading the Improvement and Development Agency to CEO of the London Borough of Barking and Dagenham, in addition to your career as a senior civil servant serving as CEO of the UK Border Agency. So could you start at the beginning, perhaps, and tell us how your career in the public sector began?
It began by accident. And that's not unusual, is it? When we're all young, we never quite know what we want to do when we grow up. After university, I was a graduate trainee for a large UK retailer. And the big thing for me had been, do I go to university or do I go to music school? I was always very musical as a youngster, and I nearly went to music college, but I decided to go to university. I did a graduate scheme, and after a few years, the music bug got me, and I decided to turn professional. I sang opera. I was an opera singer, and somebody said to me, "You ought to get yourself a little job with someone like the council, in order to tide you over, because, you know, suddenly you give up your job and you have to build up your new career." I lived in the West End at the time, but I contacted my mum and dad and in the East End of London. I said, "Well, keep an eye in the newspaper for any jobs." And an admin job came up at Newham Council, and I applied for it and got it, probably with the intention, Jess, of doing it for a couple of months. And somehow I became a chief executive instead. And I always joke that, like many people on the stage, I had a burning ambition to be an accountant. Once I was in local government, I just loved it. And I felt at home, and this ability to improve real services for real people and to see it tangibly in front of you in an area, whilst working with great people and being able to work with politicians in time as you get promoted, and being able to think about knotty operational and policy problems. I just love local government from the moment I joined it. I guess my wife and I got married. We suddenly had three small children very quickly, and all of a sudden a career in public service not only was rewarding in sort of intellectually, but actually it seemed a much safer bet than giving it a go on stage. So that was my very weird way into the public sector.
Certainly a fantastic journey. I think it's a perfect example of how careers can be and take you down these different routes. And I know that you were involved with Sitfa as a volunteer and served on the Sitfa Council. So what excited you about the role of Sitfa CEO in particular when this opportunity first arose?
So I'd done three chief executive jobs, as you said earlier. After being a director of finance, I'd become a London Borough chief executive and ran the Improvement and Development Agency and the UK Border Agency. And I was contacted about Sitfa. The first thing that struck me was this would probably be my one and only chance to apply for Sitfa, because it's a job that people tend to do for a long time. And so I thought, well, if I don't apply for it now, I probably never will. And I do think that Sitfa is a quite unique organisation where, because we specialise in one part of the economy, compared to other accountancy bodies, we simply understand the context in which we operate much deeper than any other accountancy body that has to cover tax and the corporate sector and company audit and insurance. And I do genuinely feel that Sitfa has a very special place to promote strong public financial management and governance. And of course, I suppose as I'd run the IDA, and I do genuinely think that the success of an organisation is based upon it's good governance and it's good financial management and it's good decision making. Not to say there aren't other things too, like, you know, inspiring an organization and getting the right operating model. But I do think governance and financial management are at the heart of good public services. And so the honor of thinking I could help set for on its journey to what was next really appealed to me. And also, my predecessors had all done great jobs, Steve Freer, Noel Hepworth, David Adams. But it wasn't to say there were not issues to deal with. Sitford had had a very difficult time and was having trouble thinking about what next and how would it find its way through its problems and its context. And so the thought that I could help Sitford to reimagine itself, I found greatly appealing.
Absolutely. And I'd be keen to know what changes you've witnessed as CEO over the past 10 years.
I think in terms of the numbers, of course, half of our students are now overseas and we have seen international growth to complement what's happened in the UK. In the UK, we have, again, broken out of local government a bit. You know, we are proudly a local government institute, but you know, over the last 10 years that we got back into training the NHS graduate scheme and things like this, you know, I think it's really important that CITFA operates beyond its local government footprint. And then I think it's essential that we operate beyond our UK footprint internationally. And when I joined, we had a number of lines of income that were probably a little bit past their sell-by date and were clearly withering on the vine a bit, at the same time that we were in a final salary pension scheme that we felt we couldn't meet its obligations and to easily pay our requirements for it. So 10 years on, I'm obviously very pleased that we've successfully grown a new UK consultancy business. We've successfully launched an international consultancy business, that we've seen our student footprint grow to now be half of that overseas, and that we not only met the requirements of the pension fund, but we closed it and now we're paying it down. And all of that I'm immensely proud of. I probably thought it would take 3 years rather than 10. And so there's a reflection here that things take longer than you think they will.
They always do, don't they?
But now, if they're the things that I wanted to deal with on joining, and I wanted to deal with portability and the fact that employers really value the CITFA qualification for teaching relevant public sector skills and accounting in its training, but trainees can worry that they might inhibit a future career in the private sector if they study a public sector qualification. And I did very much want to deal with portability. And obviously, at the chimes of midnight of my tenure here, being able to agree the partnership with ICAW, where CITFA students can now dual qualify as ACAs as well, I feel really pleased with what I've done. That strike me, as I said earlier, Jess, I'm amazed it took 10 years, not three. But I'm very pleased with all of that and I feel it's job done. That's not to say there's not a new set of issues to deal with. And CITFA have made a fantastic appointment in Owen Mapley. And actually, he's got a ton of things to deal with that I haven't dealt with and are new and will be new challenges. And so I'm pleased with what I've done, but it feels like a good time to move on and to pass the baton to someone else and let them deal with what next and the things I haven't done and the new challenges that will come along.
Absolutely. And what are your hopes for CITFA in the coming months and years ahead?
I think to increasingly grow our policy voice, I'd like to think that during my time, CITFA has become more confident and speaks out and speaks truth to power. And people give me very nice feedback on that now that I'm moving on. But I think we can go a lot further. We will probably have a new government the other side of the election, which is going to have to grapple with significant pressures, demand and cost pressures. and productivity issues without actually having the ability to raise a lot more in tax or spend money. And so I think the ability for CITFA to make sure that the finance profession is at the heart of public sector reform and improvements in productivity and efficiency to promote the prevention agenda, to prevent sustainability in doing so, I think CITFA could have, you know, some halcyon days ahead where it's never has it been more needed. And just as that's true in the UK, often for different circumstances, it's true around the world as well. So I think that there is an accountancy body that specialises in the public sector has never been more vital.
And thinking of times of change, CITFA being at the forefront of standard setting, skills and learning in the public sector, I'm curious to know, where do you see, say, CITFA's role in AI, in artificial intelligence, as an emerging influence on the economy?
So there are going to be some significant influences, aren't there? AI, digital, but also non-financial reporting, as we've just said, and issues such as climate. And when you look at any opportunity, there are opportunities for the economy. AI can improve our productivity. It can improve the learning and the insight from knowledge to make new application to further improve processes. That's true for the economy, but then it needs translating into the public sector, where we have additional requirements. We think about the bottom line, but we also think about added social value and policy intent. And so CITFA helping to translate things like AI to the public sector through our CPD and through our events is our job. And just like we translate international accounting standards into a set of public sector accounting standards, then actually, how will councils, NHS bodies, central government use AI in order to improve service delivery and policy making and outcomes? We will have an important role in teaching and giving insight and sharing good practice in that. And my word, that's so exciting, isn't it?
It's a really exciting time. And looking ahead, I'd be curious to know, what are the three pieces of advice that you would like to give to the next CEO, to Owen?
Well, have confidence in yourself. You've been appointed because you've got a fantastic track record and you've done a really good job. And there's a fit, you know, what you've said to the board and council about where you want to take the Institute has fitted where they would like to go. So have confidence in that. Secondly, be prepared to take a bit of risk. CITFA's a really interesting body, isn't it? In that, in other organisations, in the private and the public sector, the accountant is one person around the table out of 10. But here at CITFA, you can have 10 accountants around the table. And so it's very easy to talk ourselves out of doing things and to think we won't take a little bit of risk and we'll leave it for a bit longer and see what happens. And then you can miss the opportunity. And so a piece of advice number one is be yourself. You've been appointed for the job. Everybody wishes you well. And there is a fit that council likes where you're taking the Institute. Number two, don't be afraid to take a little bit of risk in a managed way, because CITFA, in the way that I develop new products and services, they themselves will have a shelf life. And so Owen and the team will need to develop new products and services, and they can involve a little bit of risk. And thirdly, the strength of CITFA is its membership. And I've always felt incredibly sustained and supported by members who, you know, contact me a great deal and speak to me. And that's not to say, you know, that's not to say I don't have my critics, but the vast majority of members have been incredibly supportive. But the other strength of CITFA is its staff. We are not a public body. We're not a local authority or an NHS body. We are an organisation, a charity with a business operating in a very tight market. You know, giving finance advice means that we have to have the very best staff, because you're not going to buy support off SITFA unless you're getting very, very good people. So, of course, it's true for any organisation that you've got to have the goodwill of staff and you've got to inspire people to share your values and want to move forward. But it's particularly true of SITFA. And I suppose my piece of advice is to Owen and the board and to council is, don't forget we're not a public body. And actually, we're a professional services organisation that has to pay and remunerate and have terms and conditions and all sorts of things that are common in the firms but might not be common in the public bodies we support. And that's hard, isn't it? Because, you know, we're taking Absolutely. Members' subs and they don't want to see us operating fundamentally differently. But the truth is, we have to compete with the firms and with other people to get the very best people. And therefore, my advice is, make sure that we're a good employer. And everything I see about Owen is, I've been lucky enough to go to Hertfordshire, and he's clearly an outstanding chief exec that has built a really good management team and really good staff. And I'm pleased to say he inherits a really strong management team here and great staff, and carry on in that light, because the war on talent and making sure you've got the very best people, I think, is essential. We're pleased to have recruited you in the not too distant past, Jess. And, you know, it's important, isn't it? I could almost ask, what attracted you to SITFA? Why did you come to work with us? Well, all of that is important, isn't it?
Yes, and SITFA is a really exciting and interesting organisation because it wears lots of different hats. For those people who work at SITFA, we know we can get involved with so many interesting projects and opportunities and work with different people. And I think, given that SITFA wears so many hats, I think it's fair to say, I know you've talked about being proud of the achievements you've been able to push through as CEO. Would you be able to pinpoint your greatest achievement?
Oh, it would be confidence. I think I joined in 2013, and we'd had 5 years after the crash of 2008, where income had fallen a great deal and the organisation, and as I say, it was well managed and it had a good chief exec. But I joined an organisation that had really been battered around a bit, and everyone had done well to keep the show on the road. For me, my proudest achievement is that we're out there, aren't we? And people talk about SITFA, and we are confident, and we're really proud of what we do for the public sector. And I think that confidence and that energy that I see, and you and I are fortunate enough to work in this organisation, Jess, it's a buzzy place, isn't it? And everyone's so enthusiastic and so much wants to help. That's my proudest achievement, because I like to think that I hand on an organisation that feels modern, and staff are incredibly excited about working for SITFA. And I'm very proud of all of that, because I felt I helped give our confidence back.
Definitely. I think it's a feeling, and I think not everybody can do that. It's not a strategy. It's not a logistical process. To create that feeling is really something special, I think, sustains us to do great work. I would love to ask you, looking back on your decade at SITFA, how would you describe your time here? And I have to ask, if you can describe your time as a song, or even sing us a verse, that would be very welcome.
Well, I won't,
not to put you on a spot.
As you can tell from my croaking today, I'm afraid I'm suffering from a rather bad cold. So I probably won't sing. I'll save that for my leaving do, Jess. Oh, I don't know. I think there's a lovely old ballad, isn't there, from the First World War. Well, there's loads of them, but Let the Great Big World Keep Turning. And I love the songs of that period. My mum died last year before Christmas. She was 94, and she had a most lovely singing voice. And funnily enough, she sounded a lot like Vera Lynn. Vera Lynn came from a couple of streets from lovely. Where I was born. You know, I'm an East End boy, and we're very, very proud of Vera Lynn. And all these songs that, as a child, I would hear my mum and my granddad too, who worked in the docks till he was 76, these songs of optimism, you know, April showers. There may be clouds, but there's sun on the way. So if I was to choose a song, it would be a song of optimism about no matter what's going on, things are going to get better, like Let the Great Big World Keep Turning or April Showers. I suppose like any chief executive with an ego, you know, I did it my way. I mean, that's there's no doubt that that's probably true of every chief executive too.
As it should be, absolutely. I love that. And lastly, what's next for you in retirement, Rob? I know you're keen to keep busy.
Well, I do enjoy being busy, and I'm in my 60s and I've got as much energy as ever, I'm glad to say. Loads of people ask me why I'm retiring, and the truth is, Jess, I've been a chief exec for 20 years in four different organisations, and you just wake up one morning and go, I've done my bit. And I want to be busy, but it will be nice not to have, you know, the burden of being responsible for the fate of an organisation, which you are as chief executive. Sit for board and sit for council have been very kind to me and allowed me to start to build my portfolio as I transition out of an executive career. So I'm chairing an NHS body. And of course, the fun thing about retiring is that you can do some pro bono help and work for people that you don't usually have time to do, but you'll really enjoy. So I'm joining the board of a theatre, and I'm joining the board of a university. And there are a couple of charities I help. I give pro bono help to some charities. And you probably know, Jess, I live between Dorset and London. I'm very fortunate to have two homes, and I help a community interest company charity in Dorset that provides counselling to young people who sadly have had a very bad experience of child sex exploitation, and their behaviour is terrible and they won't take therapy, and we get them into therapy via teamwork through sports and the art. And I'll be glad to give them more help than I'm presently able to give them. And you do get a sense of self-actualization about volunteering for things and being able to make a contribution. Definitely. And I chair the music service in East London because I'm very passionate about schools music and young people from working class backgrounds like me. I'm from a council flat in the East End, state education, including a music service, gave me opportunities that were life-changing. So I'm very, you know, passionate about inclusion and working class kids being able to get into the arts, just as much as I can see the power of the arts and sport to help people that have really had a very bad deal in life. So I will be busy. I'll do some consultancy work. I'm going to be on some improvement boards that I'll join for some local authorities, and I'm going to be very busy. But I do actually want to spend a bit more time with my family. All my kids are in their 30s and they're planning to have children, and you know, as everybody who knows me will know, I'm absolutely a family person. And so the thought of having grandchildren and being able to spend more time with the family is all pretty exciting. And so getting my life in order now that I'll be able to do that all seems rather lovely.
Absolutely. So taking some time to smell the roses. And I think it's fair to say, through your continuous charity work and volunteering, you'll definitely be keeping the spirit of SIPFA, if you like, with you and driving that forward. And I know that everyone here at SIPFA will be sad to see you go, but very much thanking you for your dedication and, of course, wishing you the very best in retirement. So on this note, I'd like to say thank you, Rob, for joining us today. It has been a really interesting and exciting discussion. And to all our listeners for stopping by, make sure to follow us on social media for more and to never miss another conversation on SIPFA Speaks.
Well, that's been a lot of fun. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks to you, Jess. And look, thanks to all the staff. Let me return that. And thanks for SIPFA members and our stakeholders too. It's really been a blast. And thanks very much, everyone, for your support.